Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews Movie News. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens,
Hello.
And Ryan Preston. And this week's random question is, favorite Rosie Perez movie?
And this week, this is just getting fucking ridiculous.
Hey, I told you this one was random. It's even more random than the last
one. No, this is just asinine. I can't abide this.
Okay, you come up with a
question. Come on.
You come up with a question. Come on. We're waiting.
I got one. Okay. Favorite Rosie O'Donnell movie.
Oh, okay. I already got the answer to that one. And I may not mean it, but it's going to be funny as hell. So the new Flatliners trailer is out, and I'm still wondering why. I don't remember Flatliners being that good to begin with. Is it really that necessary to have a repopped sequel or a reboot or whatever the fuck it actually is?
No, I think it's just...
Is that the one where they like to fuck each other after the car accidents? Oh, that was Crash. Never mind.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the one from like 2007, which was another shitty
movie.
Right,
yeah. No, not to be confused with the Oscar bait movie.
Yeah.
At this point...
Either one, you'll be disappointed.
At this point, the way they use movie titles, they need to have, no, not Crash from this. That way you can distinguish it when you're looking it up.
You know, there is a... Google search for that. There's one about like people having sex after the car crashes and stuff like that. Yeah. And oh God, who was the guy in there that we know? Guy Pierce? No, it wasn't Guy Pierce. God damn it. I can't think of his name. Anyways. So we picked The Mummy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that got me really thinking. And this is the really interesting thing that these all came out right now. Published June 12, 2017, is a What Happened to Brendan Fraser articles started coming out. He got seriously screwed over. He was paying like $900,000 a year in alimony, plus another $300,000 for his kids. And he was not able to work because when the hurricane just recently fell through, he had to try to cut down a tree and threw out his back, so he's not even able to act anymore. I mean,
I heard somewhere that he screwed his career. It was one of the movies he did within the last decade, and he basically did something that apparently Hollywood said, okay, you're officially finished.
I mean, I can't believe that he still had a job after Monkey Bone, but I mean, this...
Well, the original Mummy, I think...
I said
helped.
Monkey Bone.
Well, I know, but I'm saying the mummy he was in, the first one, not the second or third one, I think saved his career, and I just think the problem is he's always been a goofy actor. I mean, from Encino Man, George of the Jungle, to Airheads, he doesn't do serious movies, and I think he's past the age. He's not Leslie Nielsen, so I think he's in that in-between age of not being able to do any roles.
Yeah, I think so as well, but...
The difference is Leslie
Nielsen.
He's set
for life, but with the divorce, I mean, that's like draining his whole thing.
True. I would say the difference between him and Leslie Nielsen is Leslie Nielsen was an actual serious actor and had chops, something that Brendan Fraser has never had or will never have, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just, you know, with The Mummy coming out, it kind of made me thinking, like, really, whatever happened to this guy? So I had to look it up. And,
yeah, because the first, the mummy, the one that they did with Fraser was so good.
It was. The first one.
It was such a fun movie.
I wish they were able to capture how fun it was in the second one. And they just... I've always said this, and I've said this for years, what they should have done is done his character versus the next move, in the next monster character. You know, like the Black Lagoon and do this. I think you could have made a much better character instead of, oh, it's him and the mummy returns. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like watching Hulk Hogan wrestle in WrestleMania against the same guy, but the next WrestleMania.
I don't necessarily want all of these things to exist in the exact same universe either. That's also kind of weird. Like,
going to throw in there is that, I mean, that opportunity was taken from him when Hugh Jackman took on Van Helsing. So once he did Van Helsing, it was pretty much The Mummy versus all of this stuff is out the window now.
See, but Van Helsing was a crappy movie. At least The Mummy was it was very rich in its environment. The story was good. It had the perfect flavor for that style movie versus Van Helsing was a cartoon, but live action.
You know what it just made me think of, Ryan?
You know what?
Is I think why Hugh Jackman decided to take Pan... is to make a shittier movie than Van Helsing.
And he succeeded.
I think I figured it out. Yes, he did. Very well. And he was Blackbeard. Sorry, people out there. He wasn't Hook. He was Blackbeard. Anyways.
How dare he besmirch the name of Edward Teach?
Yeah. Anyways. But, yeah, I would have liked to see more of Brendan Fraser because I always did enjoy his acting, although, like you said, it was all goofy and kind of, like, not serious. He just – I don't think he had the face for a serious role. I think his face is like one of those where it's like always kind of happy or goofy.
That's where I thought The Mummy did perfect. They were able to balance the goofiness of him with a rich story that his goofiness was able to play off very well.
Yeah.
Well, he had this real sort of walk the line between an action star, which he can absolutely be, but have this really endearing, you know, quirkiness to him. You know, so it's this perfect storm that you don't get too often. You kind of get one or the other.
And now I think they try to do it with
every movie. He was a great sort of leading man action guy, you know, because he pulled off the action scenes in that movie spectacularly. But then just he had the great one-liners to go along with it and the sort of the general attitude and you know, dealing with his shitty friend Benny. And, you know, it was a lot of fun moments in that.
Yeah, the other problem is nowadays they always try to do that in action with comedy, and it's not something that happens with Happenstance, which is kind of what I thought would happen to The Mummy. I think I wouldn't be surprised if it was a little bit more serious movie, but when you get Brendan Fraser, I think he was able to add something to it. But nowadays it's always trying to do that action comedy, and it just sucks.
Yeah,
and in a movie I actually am really pissed off they're doing, because I loved the original.
I know what he's talking about.
They're remaking Little Shop of Horrors. And the reason why I love it is I'm a huge fan of Rick Moranis.
That's what I was going to say, because Rick Moranis actually didn't do the original.
It's the remake from My Age.
Yes. But just for people out there, I believe it was Jack Nicholson that actually did the original Shop of Horrors.
But Rick Moranis, I love Rick Moranis. He's never done a crappy movie that I've ever seen. Even if the movie was crappy, somehow his character was redeeming. I'm kind of bummed they're doing this. And they're doing this with, was it Josh Gad and Rebel Wilson?
Yeah, I have no idea who that is. Anyone was
wrong. Well,
Jonathan Hayes. I seen the picture of the guy. Sorry. Anyways, I mean,
I really do wish them luck, but granted, Little Shop of Horrors is a little obscure, especially at this point, but it's like remaking Clue. Why?
Well, look, it's you can't remake the Lightning in the Bottle movies. You know?
No, not at all.
They were able to capture something that I've said this like twice in this fucking show today, but they it was greater than the sum of its parts, you know, like it should not have been good for what it was on paper, you know, but these very passionate people made this very passionate movie, and it was great, you know. So to try to do that again, to capture it off of the title alone, is very bizarre and kind of, you know, disingenuous to what the movie was in the first place.
Oh yeah, no, totally. And it was definitely a lightning bottle. I think that's the problem with when they try to repop movies, is just you try to recapture what they had, and it's just impossible. It's like remaking a Jack Nicholson movie. You cannot remake one of his movies and have it be the same quality because of the quality of the actor Jack Nicholson is.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Ryan and I are the only ones on this panel who have seen Stephen King's remake of The Shining.
The Shining. Come on, you want to get sued?
I've seen.
You did even say boy. What the hell?
Get your quote right.
Yeah, damn it.
I was trying to be esoteric about it.
Did a frog crawl down? Did a frog crawl down your throat and die?
The
response
is
it didn't die.
Oh,
wow,
Jesus, Ryan!
Thank you,
God. I want to smack you.
So we were talking about Godzilla in Real Flicks Reviews, the movie show. Mothra is being teased, the new Godzilla King of Monsters, viral marketing. So it's a giant moth versus a giant lizard.
Hmm.
Eh.
Yeah, but they did that before.
Hey, in a world with a giant lizard, I can watch that fight a giant moth.
I agree. I noticed something, you skipped over it in your news feed over there. I was going to bring this up, and I thought you were going to jump on it. So Todd McFarlane did not find somebody good enough to direct the Spawn movie coming out. So he will be directing the Spawn movie himself. And it is no longer, I guess, a Spawn movie because Spawn is not going to be the main character.
What? I said something about Twitch, but I don't remember.
Spawn is not going to be the main character in this upcoming movie that Todd McFarlane is putting out. I'm kind of bummed about that.
Yeah, depending on how they do it, it may not be bad, but I'm curious on what exactly this character is going to be.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, too.
Is it going to be more like Enemy Left Behind, where things happen around this character?
I don't know. It's going to be an interesting take, but I mean...
Excuse me, behind enemy lines.
As far as... I know what you meant. I can tell you got me on a different thing. I was thinking of Owen Wilson now. Anyways, I'm kind of curious about how this is going to play out. I am happy that Todd McFarlane is not letting it go. I'm just in the thing of, I don't know, I'm excited and kind of like not at this moment in time.
Here's where I am. If they want to give Todd McFarlane a bunch of money to do what he wants with his own thing, I'm so into that.
I agree, that needs
to happen more often. Sort of, like win or lose. That has to be, you know, what is done. I mean, if people are still trying to make art, you know, I understand the cash grab on certain things, but it's got to be, you know, you got to be able to do the bullshit big tentpole movies so you're able to give money to people like Todd McFarlane.
See, I was hoping for another animation, just because I don't think Spawn is gonna ever really look well on the medium of live action. We saw what they tried to do with the first one. Granted, they did a crappy job, but I just don't think it's possible. I think an animation is a richer environment, allows for better storytelling, and allows you not to be limited by CGI.
Circumstances, but I think CGI has gotten to a point where it's basically just like a cartoon that's sort of augmented into reality.
Unless they're going to do it like that Captain of Tomorrow movie or whatever, I just don't think it's going to look good.
Look, if Todd McFarlane's doing it, you think he's just going to let some shitty version of Spawn out there? Come on.
I'm just wondering
if there's anything that's going to be good about it, it's going to be the visuals.
I'm just curious if he's going this route so that he can not have to have an actor take off the suit so he could have Keith David voice the entire thing. I think
that'd be cool.
would be a good play. I'm not sure if that's the route he's going, but that would be the one that I would be going with and choose to do it that way and maybe have Twitch kind of like telling his encounter with Spawn.
That's the part of the story. I just don't know. I'm interested curious, in how they do it. So, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/realflixreviews, all one word. Do you have a movie you'd love us to do or some movie news you'd love our spin on? Please let us know. You can also catch us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and more. And this week's question, thanks to James, is favorite Rosie O'Donnell movie, and here is mine, A League of Their Own. And you want my...
You have a backup?
Yeah, just because, this is funny.
Holy crap.
Exit to Eden.
Oh.
I wasn't serious. I picked the only good one.
I just have to say this. For me, it doesn't exist. That is legitimately my answer.
By the way,
it does not exist.
My movie has Gina Davis in it, and Rosie O'Donnell is technically a side character. That's the reason I picked it.
I really like Gina Davis, but as far as a role that Rosie O'Donnell has ever played, there isn't one that exists that I like.
Oh, no, she played herself. She played a loudmouth character.
Are you talking about The View?
No. In League of Her Own, she played herself, a big, loudmouth character person.
Yeah.
Ryan? So.
I refuse to answer this question. this is my sitting down for the national anthem right here.
Enjoy that, Fro.
Okay, Colin. You have no choice. Cause...
Hey, I would enjoy that, Fro.
I just wish he has hair. If you
that is the most salt throw I've ever seen.
If you would just, you know, help us come up with the, you know, questions, but no, Mr. This is stupid, but I don't want to come up with anything.
Well, Mr. Let's come up with it 8 seconds before you start recording. Come
we
on.
Do this every week. We've done it every week for the last 2 years.
Yeah, and how often do I contribute to that? You should fucking know better.
I do. I don't trust Ryan to pick a question.
That's why you
trust Amber
exactly.
over that.
You're basically the NYPD. I mean, come on. Stop complaining.
Oh, it's better than the LAPD. You might come up here and try to beat our asses.
This is true.
Going for the Japs and the freaking LAPD today.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, the LAPD deserves it.
Oh, God. I am curious. I know I don't know if we talked about it last time. It's been official that the next Doctor Who character is going to be a woman.
Oh,
we've talked about it a little bit. Do any of you guys care?
No.
I'm curious on how they're going to do it, because this allows them to basically...
I'll tell you what, I couldn't be more excited.
You what?
I said I couldn't be more excited. I'm...
He's speechless.
He's stoked. I'm legitimately curious on how they do it, because choosing a female doctor allows them to do stories that they've never told in the history of the series. So I'm
well. They've always kind of alluded to the doctor having been a female at a certain point.
Yeah,
you know, it's not something that,
like
that is just coming
first
out of
or
left
second
field for
season,
sure. And
right?
to me, yeah, exactly.
And you're talking
and
about
to
the,
me,
the new one, yeah.
Yeah. The new one starting in 2005.
I got a question.
The character itself lends itself to a woman very easily.
Yeah, it's that sonic screwdriver. They're going to cut it down to a bob.
It's the idea.
I hate vodka.
The idea that she wouldn't be able to go anywhere because woman in history or something like that. That seems to be like the common thread. And
but
all my girlfriend has done is look at comment sections and see like the. Like the
neck beards,
version of a foot on a male's like
see,
not
that was,
for women for.
See, that was one of the things I'm really excited to see is, you know, she goes to medieval Europe, you know, where women didn't have any rights, and see this very strong female character who, you know, who's kicking ass and taking names. You can do amazing storytelling. And I haven't watched Doctor Who in years, and I might actually tune in just to see how they do this, because I'm excited just because, like I said, you can do more shit because you've had a guy for, you know, since the 60s.
Yeah.
I'm jazzed. Now, the only thing I don't know is these are completely different people every time he regenerates, right?
No.
It's not the same person.
It is. It's the same consciousness.
Oh, okay. Oh, so
I guess.
Yeah, although he has sort of memories but doesn't really remember his like personality before.
He
remembers the things that happened but not necessarily like why he was the way he was. It's
so,
kind of fucking hilarious.
I'm really waiting for the scene where he comes as a woman. He's like, have boobs.
Really.
I'm kind of hoping they do that, you know, that bit, just because I think it would be hilarious. I'm going to tune in. I'm legitimately excited for different storytelling.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been a fan since the beginning. You know, 60s? Obviously, the 05
no,
version. No, not since the 60s. Since Eccleston. I love Stephen Moffat's writing. He is such an amazing writer. He did all of Sherlock also, and if anybody hasn't seen it, fucking check that show out.
How long has he been writing Doctor Who? Since the 05?
You know what? That's a good question. I'm tell you my Whovian doctor, Whovian girlfriend ought to be able to
actually,
tell me
there's
the answer to that one.
There's been quite a few different writers throughout the season.
Did he come up with
a woman? There's the guy that you mentioned. And I think it's like three or four writers that rotate through the seasons.
Because who came up with the Weeping Angels? That's all I want to know. Because
I think that was a female writer. And some of her episodes I really enjoy.
I love, because that's such a random bad guy that is just entertaining. Because
Blink, I'm pretty sure, was a Stephen Moffat episode.
Yeah. Hmm. Blink was. Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
She did another one that I was trying to think.
Because when he's looking that up...
Yeah, you're right, though. They're the other writers who I wish I could give credit to at the moment. I mean, obviously, the show creator showrunner Stephen Moffat is tends to be the one to get all the praise. But yeah, the writing on that show is just awesome.
And your girlfriend's totally right. It's amazing how many neck beards are. Oh, you can't have this be a woman. It's just like, you know, honestly, this is actually a character.
And like, how have you?
This is literally a character. And when it comes to movies, I'm literally as a purist as you can get. This character is so androgynous and so agnostic of gender, the way they acted.
Right.
It doesn't actually fucking matter because
no,
look at the character. Doesn't. I mean, you cannot say, oh, this is a guy because guys have been playing it. It doesn't really matter. It's not James Bond. James Bond is a British white guy. I mean, come on.
Right. And here's the thing is, like, you've been following the people, like you said, the neckbeards, the people following the show. This is where you drew the line. All of the progressive shit that goes on in this show, like the most ultra progressive show of all time. And this is where they're going to draw the line, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's the weirdest, most arbitrary line of all time.
I'm trying to remember. There was like a couple planets where like the gender lines blurred and you can have sex with this or that. There's some really weird stuff. And yeah, you're right. A female Doctor Who and you're going to throw a fit over it?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the most anti-war show of all time.
Yeah.
You know, the most women's lit show of all time. Anti-gun. So pro-woman to begin with. Every woman character in that show is like just totally badass.
Except for the black chick. She was a little annoying and not so tough.
But see, that's the
well,
thing.
Actually,
I can't remember
Donna,
her name.
That's the one that always rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah,
Donna.
See, that's the thing I thought was weird is these people like all over the internet rallying against the fact there's going to be a female Doctor Who. And it's like, big deal. I mean, if it was a female James Bond,
seriously.
If it was a female James Bond, I would legitimately be mad because, yes, I'm a purist when it comes to movies and the originality. I don't care about this.
Yeah.
I don't see why it's like Ryan said, it's such a strange cross to bear. It's like, you can't have a woman here.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's so arbitrary. It's like, oh God. It's like when they changed Pikachu's voice, people or Ash Ketchum's voice on Pokemon, people flipped out about that. It's like, you guys need better hobbies. And I'm a movie buff.
I didn't even know about that.
I legitimately watch more movies even today than probably most people should. You people need a life.
Agreed. Yeah.
I stopped my Pokemon count at 151.
And I'm, by the way,
I haven't watched a full episode.
And by the way, we're incredibly pedantic at Real Flix Reviews. It's kind of our shtick. And the most pedantic show on the internet is telling you to get a life.
Yeah. But we're also dumb. So it's a weird combination of being pedantic and stupid at the same time.
Hey, speak
well,
for
I guess
yourself.
Since he's part of the show, it does drop our IQ down a few thousand points.
It does. It does. So any parting...
Wow, the arrogance of implying that it started anywhere near 1,000.
I was thinking 65, but any parting words before we call it a show?
Just die Nazi scum.
Damn.
Tip your local waitress.
Just a tip, though.
Jeez. And damn the man, save the empire, and make sure you tip waitresses. Ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, Ryan Preston, thank you for watching. Goodbye.